Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today, I am proud to report that the New Jersey comeback has begun.
Yesterday's State of the State address from New Jersey Governor Chris Christie came midway through his first term, or halfway through the comeback, he might say. Among the proposals he laid out for the state was a real headline grabber, a 10% cut in income taxes across the board for every New Jersey resident. He also compared New Jersey to New York and Connecticut, both of which have just raised taxes for the wealthy, vowing to continue luring businesses to the Garden State. Thank you. He talked education reform, reform for drug offenders, nothing about transportation, interestingly. And we'll talk about it all here with John Mooney, co-founder of NJSpotlight.com. Welcome back, John.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. And listeners, the lines are open for New Jerseyans. What did you think about the governor's speech yesterday and the proposals you heard in it? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehr Show. And here's a little more of the biggest news out of the governor's address, the proposed 10% income tax cut.
I propose to reduce income tax rates for each and every New Jerseyan, in every tax bracket, by 10% across the board. I also propose to fully restore the earned income tax credit for New Jersey's working poor, which we were forced to cut during the dark days of 2010, when growth was gone and we had no money. So understand what this means. Every New Jerseyan will get a cut in taxes.
Democrats responded pretty much instantly yesterday, even though this came as a surprise. People did actually not expect this coming in the speech. Here's Assembly Speaker Sheila Oliver reacting.
Sounds great. Devil in the detail. Where does $1 billion get reduced? That is not something we heard from the governor today.
$1 billion, because that's the amount that it would probably take out of the state coffers to give that tax cut. So, John Mooney, this does put Democrats in an uncomfortable position, right, of being against a universal tax cut, which even includes more for the working poor and the earned income tax credit that the governor wants to restore. So what are the politics of this from the Democratic side?
Well, it definitely puts him in a tough spot. In some ways, he steals an issue from them, because they've been pressing for him to actually increase taxes on the million, you know, the so-called millionaires tax to help fund schools specifically, and to fully fund the public schools, suburban and urban. So this, he's going the other way. He's clearly drawing a line on this, and it's going to be an interesting. I mean, the next step in this is the budget, where he lays out how exactly he would propose doing this, and what their counter offer is going to be to that. So the battle has just begun on this one, for sure.
Would you remind everybody what the earned income tax credit is and why Christie may have put this back in after vetoing it twice?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically a match on a federal tax credit, and 2 years ago the governor, it's about $45 million, and two years ago the governor took it out of the budget, and it's basically a credit that goes back to the working poor, and seen as a real positive thing in that sense. And he took it out of the budget, and then last year kept it out of the budget and vetoed an effort to put it back in, and here he's restoring it. It was the one piece of his income tax proposal yesterday that did get some applause from the Democratic side, even a couple of them standing. So there's a lot of support for that. There's some question of whether that would be tied to the, you know, across the board tax cut for everyone else. And obviously that's where one of the battles will be held.
And how is the governor reacting to the way that people are crunching the numbers? If it's an across the board 10% income tax cut, and obviously that's the state income tax, what's making the rounds in the news today is if you make $50,000 a year, that will be $80 off your taxes, that's all. But if you make $1 million a year, that's going to be $7,200 off your taxes. And if you make $3 million a year in New Jersey, that's going to be $25,000 off your taxes. So obviously critics are going to say, well, the $3 million a year New Jerseyan doesn't need that extra $25,000 as much as the state does, as much as the people do.
Yeah, I mean, he actually has not come back with a response on that as yet. These numbers are all coming out of the Democrats' assembly. I think it was the Assembly office was putting those numbers out, and that is largely going to be the attack line that the Democrats are going to use on this. But the governor in some ways, they've talked about this being a big surprise that he would come for this. I'm not sure it's that big a surprise. I mean, he hadn't necessarily laid it out or leaked it or anything of that sort, so there wasn't really much press ahead of it. But this has been where he's been headed for a while, and he clearly has always said, and he's drawn that line in the sand on the millionaire's tax as well, that he wants to lower taxes, not raise them.
And, of course, he thinks it's going to be a win for the state in the long run. It may cut $1 billion out of the budget for this year, but if more businesses move to New Jersey because they have lower taxes than some other states for the owners, then that's going to be a win in terms of ultimate tax revenues and ultimate job creation, at least in theory. That's how he would argue it, right?
Yeah, and he's made the argument that a lot of the so-called millionaires have left the state because of our income taxes, and there's been some studies that he claims back him up on that. But certainly that is his point, and that's really a big question is what is the situation with our tax revenues? We're coming out of this recession. You know, are they up, down, sideways? There's lots of questions about that. And, you know, this is about, you know, roughly over 3-4 years, about $250 million a year going out of the coffers. Now, will we have the revenues that can make up for that? That's really going to be the key to this. And whether, you know, the argument from the Democrats is this is going to lead to cuts in state aid. But in fact, we may have more revenues that don't necessarily lead to cuts. So it will certainly be drawn out of the coffers and likely from school aid, which is the largest piece of the budget. But will that be in the end a net cut? We don't know. We won't know for, you know, months to come.
Well, we should get two New Jersey economists on the show and argue out whether this actually becomes a net plus for the state eventually, because it draws more New Jerseyans with money to move there or stay there. And the governor did frame it explicitly in these terms. He related it to neighboring states. So here he is comparing this tax plan to New York's and Connecticut's.
For make no mistake, we are in a competition. A competition for jobs among countries, yes, but also among states. In the last decade, two-thirds of all companies which moved jobs to a new location did not move to other countries. They moved from one state to another. Here in our region, our most direct competitors are making very different choices. In Connecticut, the governor has raised income tax rates on top earners, small businesses, and job creators. And New York last month enacted legislation to do the very same thing.
And so the governor rattled off a list of businesses which have moved to the state since he became governor. Pinnacle Foods, Bayer, Novo Nordisk, LG Electronics, Allergan, and others. Do you think this tax reduction proposal would help to lure a company like Fresh Direct, which New Jersey is specifically trying to get to come over from Queens? Do you think it's specifically relevant? Do they look at it like that, or is that the intent?
Well, on specific business deals, I mean, a lot of it is credits and different arrangements. That's a lot more than just a single income tax cut. I mean, this speech was very much meant to be a national speech as well. I mean, there's no secret where he stands in the national picture right now. And by comparing to other states, I think he really wants to show that he's something different. He's obviously done that over the course of the last 2 years anyway. But this is, you know, this was a real headline grabber. I don't think he's even of the belief that he can get this passed, to be honest with you. The numbers aren't there. Obviously, the Democrats are not inclined
really
at the moment.
So this is really his 2016 presidential campaign kickoff speech?
Or some have argued certainly his 2013 reelection kickoff. And, you know, maybe that will then in turn to a 2016. But I think it certainly it lays out where he is, where he's coming from, and certainly sets up a 2013. And it was raised a lot yesterday before the Democrats, whether their counter argument to him was also their 2013 election campaign start. So, you know, there's a lot of politics to this, and we're going to see that play out over the next, you know, certainly the next 6 months, if not the next 2 years.
John Mooney from NJSpotlight.com as we break down Governor Christie's State of the State address yesterday. 212-433-WNYC. Ankit in Edison, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. Hi. I don't want this to be the governor's bully pulpit and to use this as a political campaigning message, but for me, I'd rather give up the $80 or so or whatever the rate might be or for whatever millionaire, how much they give up, to keep the public programs like education, like your speaker had raised, and other programs, then get the cut and inevitably have my taxes raised again through some other, tax increase through the legislative process. So I'd rather keep those programs than take the money, because I don't want education to be cut and other key vital programs that the state needs to run.
Thank you very much. Lou in West Orange, you're on WNYC. Hello. Lou, are you there? Lou, we'll try to get back to you. Jim in Eatontown, you're on WNYC. Jim?
Hi, Brian. I just wanted to mention that as a middle-income earner myself, this is, in real terms, about $4 a paycheck, which is not going to affect my spending habits. It's not going to really have any economic stimulus involved. And so, like the previous caller, I think I would rather just give the money to the state and use it to fund education and unemployment benefits and stuff like that, because I'm lucky enough to have a job right now.
Jim, thank you very much. So, John, how would this affect education? How direct a link is there between the tax cut and what the school districts will get this year?
Well, it's clearly it's going to put more pressure on a budget that where the preponderance of the money does go to state aid to schools. So, clearly it seems to be something that would put some kind of, I'm not sure. Again, we don't quite know what's going to happen with the rest of the revenues. So in the end, there may be a net gain out of this. But the chances are that and the governor has made it clear that he is not all that satisfied with the amount of money that we're spending on schools, and specifically urban schools. I mean, he said it again yesterday. He called, a lot of the funding system that's been in place for the last 20 years through the court orders of Abbott versus Burke, he's called that a failure. He talked about the high level of spending in the places like Newark and Asbury Park, where it's $20,000 plus per student, and he clearly wants to pull that back. He's said that over and over for the last 2 years.
In fact, let me jump in and play that clip from the State of the State address. The governor did bring up the Abbott districts, which basically refers to the Abbott versus Burke court ruling that goes all the way back to the 1970s that's resulted in the state trying to even out some of the funding inequities. If wealthier suburbs can spend X dollars a year on their public school students, the state is now filling in those gaps for some of the poorer urban districts. But here is Governor Christie on Abbott v. Burke.
Today in Newark, we spend $23,000 per student for instruction and services. But only 23% of ninth graders who enter high school this year will receive high school diplomas in 4 years. It is time to admit that the Supreme Court's grand experiment with New Jersey children is a failure. 63% of state aid over the years has gone to the Abbott districts, and the schools are still predominantly failing.
So, John, does the governor think that Newark students would do better if there was less money in their public schools?
Well, let me and correct him on one of these, and he's been called out on it time and time again, and he continues to say it. He says that a quarter of Newark students are not graduating 4 years later, and that's just – it's not true. They are not graduating through the standard method of passing the high school exit exam, at least the standardized one. There is a second exam, and they are getting diplomas. Now, this is not to be an apologist for what's happening. It's still only about half of the kids, maybe 60%, so it's still a big problem, but it's not quite the number that he continually puts out there. But to your question of whether spending less on them would improve their education, well, the second piece of this is he has long pressed for some some reforms in these schools around tenure reform, you know, all kinds of things in terms of turning around failing schools. And I think that is his argument, is that it's not about money. It's really about building some systemic reforms in the schools, Newark being a prime example, being one that the state runs, operates, and has for, you know, since the mid-90s. So I think he does, you know, his line is generally that schools can improve through other ways instead of just putting money into them, which they have done so. And I don't think there's a whole lot of argument even on the court on that. The trickier part is building systemic reforms that really do make these changes and improvements, and that's been a lot slower road for New Jersey.
He made 6 education reform proposals. Here are the first 2, having to do with teacher tenure and layoffs.
First, reform tenure. By measuring teacher effectiveness both with professional observation and objective, quantifiable measures of student achievement, and then by giving tenure to those with strong evaluations and taking it away from those whose ratings are unacceptably weak. Second, if layoffs are necessary, remove the least effective teachers instead of just the most junior ones. It is time to end the system of last in, first out.
And I understand from your piece on NJ Spotlight that the tenure proposal is one that's pretty much already on the table and that it's a Democratic proposal.
Yeah, I mean, it's different than what he has proposed. His is tougher, but there is a Democratic plan that's pretty close to, I wouldn't necessarily say passage yet, but all indications it's going to be in the first half of the year. There seems to be a consensus around it that would really make some significant changes on how one achieves tenure, how long you can keep it, and certainly how you can lose it. And it has been led by Democrats, especially in the Senate, and does look for passage, to be sure. And I think that will be a win for him. I mean, something he's pushed hard on, and I think it's going to happen. The second piece of it being the seniority, last in, first out. In my piece today, Senate President Steve Sweeney basically called that a non-starter, and that has always been really the line drawn in the sand on this debate with the teachers' unions and the Democrats, and it doesn't look like that's moving yet. It's not part of this tenure bill, and the chances that can happen even in the next year or two, there hasn't been much budging in the last year, and I don't see a whole lot of movement on that in the next year.
Listener reminds us on our website that the tax cut proposal, 10% across the board, has resonance in history. As he writes, isn't this what the last Governor Whitman, maybe he meant the last Governor Christie, which right. is Christie Whitman, promised and did? And sure enough, she ran on an across the board state income tax proposal. And then critics over the years said that resulted in more state borrowing and in higher property taxes at the local level, because local areas still want to fund their services, including their schools.
Yeah, and she had a 30% cut, and actually we did it over 2 years. I mean, it was certainly significant. Led to a lot of angst in the state, and was somewhat in response to a tax increase that came before her from Governor Florio. So there certainly is a history here, and. Again, though, I mean, that did pass back then. I really don't think the chances are all that strong for this happening this time. I think this is much more of a political statement, certainly lays it out there, steals some thunder from the Democrats wanting to increase taxes on millionaires. But the chances that we see a real across-the-board cut, I think, are quite slim when you look at the numbers in terms of Democrats versus Republicans in both the Senate and the Assembly.
Our Transportation Nation desk notes with alarm that there was nothing about transportation this year in the State of the State address. Maybe that's because they have nothing to write about now. But nothing about transportation in a state like New Jersey with obviously some problems in mass transit, but also constantly crowded roads.
Yeah, I mean, there was no mention of tunnels either. Certainly, I think there were a few things that were left out. I mean, what was notable, and I do want to bring some attention to it, was his position on drug offenders and some of his crime platforms that he laid out yesterday.
Right, so hang on, because we want to play that clip anyway. So let's turn to what Christie called job number 3, reclaiming New Jersey's inner cities and engaging New Jersey's most vulnerable citizens.
I propose mandatory treatment for every nonviolent offender with a drug abuse problem in New Jersey, not just a select few. It will send a clear message to those who have fallen victim to the disease of drug abuse. We want to help you, not throw you away. We will require you to get treatment because your life has value. Every one of God's creatures can be redeemed. Everyone deserves a second chance.
So we'll close on this. John, is that a progressive proposal from a Republican governor?
Yeah, I mean, this isn't new to him. He's talked about this in the past, so it wasn't a big surprise. But for him to play it up as number three on his, you know, in his State of the State address, certainly brought attention to it, and it certainly, you know, would fall into the progressive camp, to be sure. It's a real problem. We have something like 7,000 inmates in our state prisons on drug offenses, and clearly put in a position where they're, and largely poor and minority, where employment in the future is going to be very difficult for them. And he called for mandatory drug treatment instead of prisons, and it really can make a big difference. I mean, it's something that's been long called for, got big applause. One notable person in the front row that gave it big applause was former Governor Jim McGreevy, who's now doing a lot of counseling on this, and he actually led the applause, stood up and started the standing ovation for it. And this being a Democratic governor, this was notable. And
Jim McGreevy making a comeback?
He's certainly making. He's showing up a little bit more. He was in the state house last week as well, but this is the first state of the state that he's come back for, and you're seeing him more and more, and he certainly seemed to be enjoying the attention yesterday at a mini press conference of his own after the speech, where reporters all rushed to him to get comments on this. So yeah, we might be seeing a little bit more of that former governor.
John Mooney on the State of the State. Read his stuff at njspotlight.com. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Up next, Connie Ross, one of two British diplomats to resign over the Iraq war, now calling for direct democracy as a response to globalization. Stay with us.